Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The fifth hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
Back at it again on a Saturday. It is another edition of the fifth hour with Ben Maller as we are back at it 8 days a week. This is the Saturday podcast, and I don't know about you. I've done a lot of these things. That conversation with Tommy John is in my top five pantheon of things I did not expect. Now, I was very excited to talk to Tommy, and I enjoyed the conversation. And if you didn't hear it, I do highly recommend going back because so often we have people on who are guarded and afraid to say anything. Tommy was the opposite. He said whatever was on his mind and told the fact that he almost died of COVID, a wild tale from baseball player Tommy John. So I'm still getting over that. I'm still enjoying the afterglow of that conversation. But the podcast game does not end. The podcast machine does not end. And this is the Saturday podcast. And we thank you for hitting that subscribe button, giving us 5 stars, and telling a friend. Telling a friend. Boy, does that help us out. And yet again, it's like a hostile takeover here. Ryan Smith, better known as his wrestling name, Ryan McBain, is riding shotgun. Are we still allowed to say that? He's in the passenger seat here on the fifth hour with Ben Maller. So, Mr. McBain, the number one Boston fan that I know that works at Fox Sports Radio.
Boston can kiss my ass. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And exactly. Yes, and yes, you can still say shotgun.
Okay, good. That has not been canceled yet. So you're writing shotgun again.
Yes.
Which is a great reference, as you know, Ryan, because you're a historian of words. That goes back to the stagecoach days. Right? That was in the early days of travel in the Old West. They had the person who was driving the stagecoach who was holding on to the straps for the horses, and then the person next to him was the lookout in case some hostile attack on the side of a dirt road somewhere. So they had you were literally holding a shotgun sitting next to the driver. And you had to obviously defend
Yes. The
stagecoach.
Yes, I'm
Fun
your
fact.
Protector.
That's right. You are holding the weapon, protecting us from evil people who
from
might
Boston.
Come in.
Yes, evil people from Boston. Yes.
Here we go again. Here we go. All right. So on this podcast, we'll see how much of this we get to because I have a lot of things I want to rant about. I've got the eulogy, right? The eulogy, the pizza party foul. We've got that. We have pop quiz. And study, let's get scientific, all that kind of stuff. So we might get to some of that, depending on the time. You know, we're on a tight clock here, unless we're not. But I did want to spend some time at the beginning of the Saturday podcast to acknowledge, set it and forget it. And if you've been a fan of the podcast, we've been doing this for a while now, and we try to get people that touched my life in one way or another. People I like in radio, usually. We get a lot of radio nerds that come on here. And athletes that I appreciate and whatnot. And with that as the backdrop, one of the people that I really wanted to get on the podcast that I tried, I said, when I got this podcast, I got to get this guy on. I want to talk to this guy. This guy's a legend. He's a living legend. And I had it booked. It didn't happen. So we're talking about the old gangster of infomercials has gone to salesman heaven, Ron Popeil. Ron Popeil. Now, we mentioned this briefly in the overnight the other day, but Ron Popeil, not just an infomercial guy. The guy was an inventor, but he did become the face of infomercials and the As Seen on TV product line, the Showtime rotisserie, the Pocket Fisherman. He passed away this week. At age 86, apparently he had a brief medical emergency on Tuesday, and life is so fragile, so fleeting at all ages, but especially when you get to that age. And then he passed away the day after here in Los Angeles at Cedars-Sinai, where a lot of the celebrity people go. That's the celebrity hospital there in La La Land. And so he is known as the set it and forget it guy. And so he's checked out. And I want to give you the backstory. If you've missed those podcasts, I kind of give you the story here. So I love infomercials. I've always been more of a night person. And when I was a kid, there wasn't a lot to watch late at night on television. A lot of reruns. And a lot of TV stations actually would like shut off after a certain hour and just have nothing. And then infomercials came, and that was a big thing. And I would watch quite a bit of infomercials. We didn't have the interweb the way it is today. Now, when I can't sleep, I'll just go on the internet and I'll fall into the Matrix and I'm good. I can kill hour after hour on YouTube, but that didn't exist. So I watched a lot of infomercials. It was very influential on my childhood, which is bizarre to say because I didn't really buy much. I did buy one thing. I bought they had car wax that you could put on the car and you could light it on fire and the car would not be burned. And this was such an impressive infomercial to me that I bought the car wax. And I was so excited because they threw in all those extras and all that good stuff. That's the only thing I bought. But I watched so much of Ron Popeil, and the Showtime Rotisserie was the most famous of the late night infomercials. Sold a billion rotisserie cookers. 1 billion. And just insane. Just insane. So, and he was the guy that is credited with coming up with the most famous phrase in salesmanship. But wait, there's more. But wait, there's more. Is that not perfect? But wait, there's more. So I attempted to book Ron Popeil. I have followed him on Facebook for many years. We are Facebook friends, Ron Popeil and myself. And so I reached out on Facebook. I said, hey, Ron, I'm a radio guy. I pumped myself up a little bit. Yeah, I put my look at me. I'm so great. I do a radio show, and it's on 400 stations, and it's on all over the world. You know, really pumping it up, you know, really exaggerating, which is not exaggerating. I'm just pumping it up. So Ron gets back to me and says, listen, talk to my publicist. We'll do it. Okay. So I talk to the publicist, and then I play email tech with the publicist. We go back and forth. Very nice woman. And she's like, where's the show going to be broadcast? You know, how long is the interview going to be? All those who, what, where, when, why questions. So I'm okay. I answer all the questions. We go through everything. And she says, okay, I'll talk to Ron. Just make sure he definitely wants to do it, and we'll get back to you. So she emails me back. She says, Ron really wants to do it. He wants to know who you've had on in the past, though, some of the names you've had on in the past. So I said, okay, no problem. So then at that time, it was early in the fifth hour, and at that time, the only names we had on were like Tony Bruno and Lenny Dykstra. It was like, that was it. And radio's Tony Bruno and baseball's Lenny Dykstra. So I wrote back and I said, well, we had Lenny Dykstra. He's part of the 86 Mets. You know, he's a wild character in baseball. We had Tony Bruno. The guy started ESPN Radio. He started Fox Sports Radio. Pretty much is the god of syndicated sports radio. We had him on. You know, we're just starting the podcast. And she says, okay, great. I'll go back to Ron, and then we'll come back to you, and should be no problem. We'll book the podcast. I said, sure, no problem. So I wrote back. I said, well, Thursday, we do record the podcast in the afternoon on Thursday. She says, good, no problem. So I get no response, right, for a couple of days, and I'm like, well, this is not good. This is not good. She had been writing back, and then like the morning before we were supposed to record the Ron Popeil podcast, which I thought was a tentative green light go. Instead, it was like a yellow light, but it was actually more of a red light. She writes back. She says, well, after further review, Ron just, he's got to spend time with the grandkids, and he's got a house in Malibu, I think it was, that he had to go to, and he just doesn't have time to do it, so he can't do it. So I said, okay, great. So why don't we do it next week? We can do it next week. Maybe he won't be as busy. And then she realized I didn't get the message, the kind put down. And so then she just said, well, Ron just, he didn't have enough big names on there, so he didn't want to do it. And I was like, all right, whatever. I was devastated, but that's fine. I mean, this guy was in his golden years, and that's his position. But it doesn't mean I'm not a huge fan, I've read books. That's what a loser I am. I've read books about infomercials. I'm just fascinated. No, McBain, no, seriously. You're laughing at me, Mr. McBain. But here's my position. Like, radio is sales. We're in the sales business. Right? And really all of life is sales. You want people to like you. You're selling your personality. You're selling, you know, if you're a business, you're selling business. And they have mastered all of these Jedi mind tricks in infomercials. They really have. And I've been fascinated by it. I was a kid. I had no business. I didn't even have any money or a credit card. And I would watch for hours these infomercials and be captivated.
You should have lied, by the way. You should have said, yeah, we had lots of big names on the podcast.
I know.
Should have done.
I know. On hindsight, we used to have a producer. I will not say the name. But famously would book star baseball players and – sometimes he would say he was the Today Show, or you know, because he was producing a morning show, and so he was like, "Yeah, hey, it's so and so from the Today Show. Can you come on?" And then they'd be like, "Okay, sure."
I think I know who the producer is.
Yes, you probably do know who the producer is. You probably do know who the producer is. Which I don't know is I know it's morally not proper, Ryan. I know it's morally not correct. I don't know if it's illegal to say that. I'm not sure about that.
Well, it is. The show does take place in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could say that among the people on the show, that's what we call it. You know, you could say that's the name that we have for the show. So,
be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Anyway, just to wrap up, I don't want to spend the whole thing on Ron Popeil, but he did influence me a little bit, and actually a lot. And he had the whole Ronco line of products. I mean, this was all kinds of crap that has just filled landfills over the years, Ryan. I mean, and for radio, now this is something I did have, but I didn't get it off an infomercial. My mom bought it for me because she knew I was a fat kid that wasn't going to make it in sports and I wanted to be on radio. Mr. Microphone. That was all. You could hook up to the radio and be on the radio, and that mattered back in those days. Now, of course, you can go on YouTube. It's, you know, it's different. There's a Stone Age back then, but that was a big deal. It's like the first karaoke machine. I had a Mr. Microphone. I did. I still have one today. I'm a grown-up. I'm a grown-ass man. I have a Mr. Microphone. I have a little radio studio here. And he had the Pocket Fisherman. You know how many jokes? Didn't Saturday Night Live in the old days, I think they did jokes about the Pocket Fisherman goof on Ron Popeil. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. His stuff is in the Smithsonian. That's wild. So rest in peace, Ron Popeil, infomercial god, who ended his life worth $200 million. 200 million smackaroos. And I know even in recent years from being Facebook friends with him that he would still hang out with the other big stars of the infomercial world. Like there's a tight fraternity there. And I know it's taboo. I think this guy's been banned by a lot of people. I saw a photo of him with the My Pillow guy.
Oh,
he was hanging out with him. I know you're a big fan, Ryan.
No,
of the
not
My
really.
Pillow guy.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not a fan of him. Who do you hate more, the My Pillow guy or Boston?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's a Sophie's choice. That's a
wow.
Sophie's choice question.
Yeah. Pick your poison.
Yeah, this is tough here.
I guess I'd go with Boston, I guess. But
no, look at that. So you really don't hate the My Pillow guy as much. You don't hate the My Pillow guy.
It's pretty close. It's pretty damn close.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, Ryan McBain, how big a loser am I that one of my heroes as a kid was a guy hawking products on infomercials?
I wouldn't say you're a loser at all. I would say that you're a you just give a valuable lesson, and that lesson is if you want that big interview, you got to lie.
Yes, that is true. That's a teachable moment. That is correct. Teachable moment. But all the tricks, and think about the tricks that are used today in sales, like the feigning a small amount of, one of the tricks that he learned on the, I think it was on the Jersey Shore at the boardwalk on Atlantic City, is Ron Popeil was out, and he was, before he became an infomercial guy, I remember reading a book about his early life, and he would be out on the boardwalk. His father was in the business, and he would get people walking down the boardwalk, and he'd have these over-the-top sales pitches, like a carnival barker, but you're selling a pasta maker or something like this, you know? And then he would have a crowd. He'd build a crowd up, and then he would sell products, and then before he sold all the products, he would say we ran out, and he'd keep the crowd. So then the next time he started it over, the same bullshit, he would have a crowd, and then he realized that other people, because it's human nature, and this has been proven, when people see a line, people waiting for something, they think it's A, more important. They're curious, right? I guess first thing would be curious. Secondly, they're like, what this must be really good. People are waiting online for this. And so it's he channeled human nature. And to this day, when you open a restaurant, if you pay your, not even have to pay, but if you get a crowd of relatives and friends to fill up the restaurant and make it seem like it's really popular, people that would never eat at that restaurant will come to the restaurant thinking, you know, there's something amazing about it. There's a scientific name for it. I don't remember it offhand here. I'd have to look it up. But it's true. My wife's the same way. My wife's, well, we've got to go to that restaurant. It's popular. I'm like, no, I'm the opposite. I'm like, I'm an introvert like you, McBain. I don't want to go anywhere near where it's popular. I want to go where there's no one. I want to go where they haven't served that meal in 2 months. That's where I want to go.
Exactly, because you're seated quicker.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Exactly. All right. So we have a pizza party foul. Tales from the halfway house at the Maller Mansion. Tales from the halfway house at the Maller Mansion. Now, as you know, I dabble in the kitchen. And since I am living in a temporary place with a rather small kitchen, I would say this is the smallest kitchen I've had since I lived in a little shithole apartment in Hollywood.
What's small to you?
It's very tiny. It's a little, like a small wraparound kind of corner. It doesn't even go through the whole corner of the room type thing.
I bet your kitchen is bigger than my entire apartment.
No chance. How big? You have a studio or a one bedroom?
I have a one bedroom.
Well, yeah, you don't even have, if you had a studio, then you could make that argument. Studio apartments blow. Terrible. I hate studio apartments. So you have a one bedroom.
Yes. A
one bedroom, one bath?
Of course.
That's all you need. Now, if you had no bath, you'd have a problem. If you had no bath, you'd have an issue. That would be a problem.
Slight problem, yes.
So it's a small kitchen. And there's a lot of stuff in boxes. And I'm not, it's a first world problem. It's a good problem to have. I'm living the hobo life. Fine. Whatever. I signed up for it. In any event, get to the point, please. So this week, in my haste to make the perfect Maller pizza, it's the one thing I still cook. Everything else I got to eat out of a doggy bag because I have to get, it's the one thing I can cook in this fugazi kitchen I got. So the Maller pizza, and I am very meticulous. I am a person that follows the recipe exactly. But I have made the Maller brand pizza so often that it has become second nature. I make it every week, normally on Tuesday. That's pizza day. Don't eat on Monday. Break the fast with the Maller pizza on Tuesday. Well, unfortunately, as I said, in my haste to make the perfect Maller pizza, I did not pay proper attention to detail this week. And this week different than all other weeks. And so after rolling out the dough, putting the tomato sauce on, spreading out the mozzarella, the spices, the Italian seasoning, the pizza spices, the garlic, the onion, the bell pepper, all that. So I get to the very end. My last touch on the pizza is I try to make a big fat crust, and I like to put Parmesan cheese around the crust. You know that sprinkle of Parmesan cheese around the crust. That's a nice touch.
Yes.
So I like that. That's my move. So I go to the refrigerator, McBain. I grab the Parmesan cheese. I take it out, and I start sprinkling it around the pizza. And I'm about done, and much to my shock, I notice that the parm just didn't look right.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, now keep in mind, now I did look in the bag of cheese, and the top layer was fine. It was the proper color. It was the proper texture of Parmesan cheese. But as I went underneath that top layer, there was some moldiness there. And I had just covered the crust of my pizza with moldy Parmesan cheese.
Well, you know, some people do like penicillin on their pizza.
Now, at this point, we're at a crossroads. What do you think I did at this particular point?
I know damn well you ate that pizza.
You're damn right. Absolutely correct. So here's my move, right? So I'm like, holy fuck. I mean, what am I? I didn't have another thing of dough. I didn't have more tomato sauce. This was the one pie, and I was hungry. I hadn't eaten since Sunday, and it was Tuesday, so I got to eat. And so I'm like examining the pie with my, I'm getting right up with my, put my nose in the dough, trying to see the moldy cheese. And so I went over there and tried to remove, as they say in gardening, you remove the dead wood, right? You cut the dead wood out. So I'm trying to remove the cheese, the moldy cheese. I think I got about 80% of the moldy cheese out, and then I just gave up. I figured, well, 20% of moldy cheese, I think I'll be okay. And I cooked it, and I ate it, and I'm still alive to talk about it, so it didn't kill me. Well, you can't eat moldy cheese.
Yeah, because I think like the heat, wouldn't the heat like get rid of the bacteria? Isn't that how it works?
I hope you're right. I don't know. I assume that makes sense. That's a logical way to look at it. Now, keep in mind, I did have the Tennessee trots, but I get
what?
That. Yeah, that's what they, when you have dysentery, when you gotta go run to the bathroom, you know, you gotta.
What's this, Oregon Trail?
Well, no, that's like a Civil War term, I think. Tennessee trots. Yeah. No, or I could say Montezuma's Revenge.
That's better.
Has that been canceled? I don't know. I don't know. This is Mexico.
Muddy Waters?
Don't drink the water. Yeah, don't drink the water. Anyway, so whenever I fast, since I had my gallbladder taken out, whenever I fast for a long time, it doesn't matter what I eat, I immediately have to make a run for the commode. So I'm not sure if it was the mold or it was just my gallbladder acting up after I hadn't eaten in a while. So that was my pizza party foul with the moldy, moldy cheese.
Now, here's the thing. You call it a foul. I think it's a story of redemption because you mess up the pizza, the nice pizza pie, and you fixed it, and you still ate it. So that's a story of redemption, Ben.
Well, thank you. You've just validated my position. I told my wife that. She said, if you did that with my pizza, you'd have to throw that out and start over. I said, well, it's not your pizza.
People don't appreciate pizza pie.
That's what I'm saying, right? This is confirmation that you can have a little mold on your pizza, and you're going to be okay.
You shouldn't be wasting food during a global pandemic.
Yeah.
Now, granted, like you might have invented some type of COVID variant, but I'm just saying.
The mold variant, the mold. Yeah. How upset is the people over at Delta? Are they upset? Like, wait a minute here. I mean, yeah, you assholes. At first it was called the coronavirus, so you ruined Corona beer. Now it's the Delta variant, so you've screwed up the airline. Bad job by you. You know, it's like, what's going on? Let's get down to business.
As long as it's not the whiskey variant, I think I'm fine. I'm good.
As long as there's nothing with the whiskey, keep very open and shut. Keep the whiskey cabinet, the whiskey bottle clear of any damage. Yes, I got you.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get scientifical. Let's get scientific. We'll do a few science stories here. Now, and this is a tribute. I used to love a show called Bullshit. it was on, was it HBO or Showtime? I forget. It was a Penn and Teller, and they examine random things and say, is this real or is it bullshit? And a lot of science. I love reading studies, scientific studies from universities mostly. And I have learned over the years that there's so many weasel words in this, you really have to go over these things with a microscope and use critical thinking. You can't believe every single study because they throw a lot of weasel words out. Here's a study that says testosterone levels don't drive success. Do not drive success. And this is good news if you're a not an alpha male, obviously, because you have a lot of testosterone, a beta male. And they say it does not drive success in men, and they say much less important than previously claimed.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think this is bullshit. I think this is the University of Bristol. They claim it's a myth that testosterone levels drive success in life. Contradicting.
Really? So
previous assumptions.
Explain porn stars.
well, in that business, and I would say athletics. I mean, your that brother too. Was a pro basketball player, right?
Yes.
Did he have increased testosterone?
I never. That's a question I never asked him, Ben.
Well, I understand. But in just in general, I mean, you know, you're around him. You know when they're a little more testosterone than the average.
He's got two
person.
Kids. I mean, I'm assuming.
Big stud. Look at that. Look at that. Going for it. Yeah, I don't believe that one. I find that hard to believe. So I'm going to choose not to believe that. Well, here's a fun story about bees. It's for the bees. It's the bee's knees. Bees, according to science, get buzzed off caffeine just like human beings do. And it makes them better. It makes them better. The bees are better bees when they're out doing their thing. This is why we have science. It's things like this. It's things like this. This is according to Greenwich University in southeast London. Wow, this is what they're doing in London.
Oh, I'm sure the caffeine is like cocaine for them or something.
Well, it says a new study shows that bees also get a buzz from caffeine. It helps them become more productive on the job. More productive. I'm not a coffee drinker. I've never had a cup of coffee in my life. And I'm at the point now where I can't have a cup of coffee because I like to tell people I haven't had a cup of coffee, so I can't have a cup of coffee. I do take caffeine supplements every once in a while when I'm driving and I don't want to fall asleep and die when I'm driving in a ditch somewhere along the side of the road. But I generally don't even do a lot of that.
Well, it's the same thing, though. Just drink some coffee.
Eh. Yeah. It's cheaper, too. If you get a bottle of caffeine supplements at Walmart or somewhere, it's very cheap for a bottle. A bottle of caffeine supplements is as much as a one cup of Starbucks coffee, and it'll last you an entire month or longer. Fun fact. Yeah. Anyway, what does it say? Let me go deeper into the study. It says scientists say the pollinator learns better to when nectar is laced with the pick-me-up of caffeine. And they go into a lot of scientifical minutiae in this. But the study was published in Current Biology. It found bumblebees fed caffeine were better at remembering the smell of a specific flower and the nectar inside. How the hell do they know that?
How do you feed a bee caffeine, by the way?
That's a good question. It says, let me try to find it here. I think.
You're not giving it coffee.
No, no. Let's see here. What does it say? I think it's in some of the flowers. I think I must. I'm not reading this right here. It's in here somewhere. It says many stray towards neighboring wildflowers instead of the delicious summer fruit, but those that have had the caffeine enjoy it. Let's see here. What does it say? La 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 la. Yeah, yeah, that's a great question, right? Where is their natural caffeine? It's not jumping out to me here. And we don't have time to read. This is a long study. And if I read the whole thing, no one will be listening to the podcast. So, they buy dozens or even hundreds of boxes of commercial bumblebees a year to boost crops. All right, so this is something to help the farming community. There's got to be natural caffeine. Just Google it. Probably get the answer quicker. Just Google it. There you go. It says, in test, 86 previously untrained bumblebees were divided into three groups. Two got either the strawberry odor or the caffeinated sugar solution or sugar solution alone. Oh, so they gave them the caffeine. Oh, wait a minute. That's cheating, isn't it? That's cheating. Anyway, they said the ones with the caffeine did better. Boy, okay. Didn't think we'd spend a lot of time on that. We did. Deadly spider venom, as we get scientific. Deadly spider venom can help heart attack survivors recover. This could be life-changing. Could being a weasel word.
Bullshit.
Calling bullshit on this?
Yes. It's called venom for a reason.
According to a new study, this is from the University of Queensland in Brisbane, Australia. They say that the eight-legged spiders, the friendly, eight-legged spider, may turn out to be lifesavers. The researchers report that venom from one particular type of spider is the integral ingredient in a new life-saving treatment for heart attack victims. Who knew? The spider in question, formerly known as the Fraser Island funnel web spider, is considered among the world's most deadly. Ooh, creepy crawler. And they say that a molecule extracted from the spider's venom is being used now to produce a new drug that is a new drug candidate capable of both preventing heart attack damage and extending the life of donor hearts used for organ transplants.
Okay, let's just say like that this story is true. How in the world would they figure that out?
Well, I'm dumb, so I'm not the person to ask, but there are people that are very smart. I'm not one of those people. I'm an idiot. I talk about sports for a living. I'm a moron. But it's a great question. And they say that this drug, the new drug, actually blocks a death signal sent from the heart during a heart attack.
The death signal?
Yeah.
I don't think it's called that.
Well, that's what it says. I'm reading it out of the study. I'm reading it out of the study. It's from the University of Queensland. The death signal.
The death signal?
Yeah, that's what it says right here. So is that how it works? Like when you have a heart attack, the heart sends a message to the brain. All right, we're done. Shut her off. That's it. Goodbye, everybody. We're out of here. Is that how that works? The death signal? I'm going to steal that. I'm going to use that.
It makes no sense.
No, I am going to steal that and use that in a future Mallard monologue. The death signal. It's like the Death Star from Star Wars.
I want to know what type of drugs these doctors were on to figure that out. You know, man, you know what we should try? We get some spiders, man, and just hell with it, man, just see what happens.
Now, here's the thing, right? So I am of the belief, tell me if I'm crazy in this, I believe that all of the solutions to life problems are on this planet. We just haven't found them. Like every illness, I believe there is a cure for that said illness on this planet, but we haven't yet discovered it. Am I crazy or am I on the path to salvation?
You are crazy and you're also correct.
No, I can't be both. You got to pick. Uh-huh. You can't stay on the fence, Ryan. You got to get off the fence. Come on.
I agree with what you're saying, but I mean, you're also kind of insane, which is fine.
I don't think I am. I think I'm right. I think that with all the different plants and all the things in the ocean that we have no idea what the hell is there. And it doesn't mean we'll ever find the solutions to this. It doesn't mean we'll ever find the answers, but they're there. I really think they are there. I think everything we need is right here on this planet. We just have to find it. I'm becoming Benny Brightside. I'm becoming Mr. Positive here.
Well, let's not put the cart in front of the horse. Calm down. Calm down.
All right. Let's see. What's next? Here we go. Study finds that friends who behave badly are easier to forgive than strangers. I'll go for it. This is obviously real, and we didn't need a study to tell us that.
Yes.
The reason you will forgive bad behavior by friends is because, hello, they're your friends. You don't know a stranger from Timbuktu, so who cares? I mean, what are you going to do, right? You're not going to, if you don't know somebody and they're an asshole to you, you're not going to give them the time of the day, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I mean, you run across some stranger, like, okay, whatever, the guy's a dick, I'm out of here. But if it's a friend, you're like, well, why'd you do that? You know, you figure out a solution. Let's say there's a global collapse. Global collapse. Oh, my God, there's a global collapse. And a cataclysmic global collapse. Where is the place that you need to be to survive a cataclysmic global collapse? I'm talking about anywhere on this little blue marble we call Earth.
Well, I know the place you're not supposed to be.
Where would that be?
That would be Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, how dare you. How dare you. Well, anywhere in the I-95 corridor, to be fair. Anywhere, D.C., Philly, New York, Boston. I had a buddy of mine who was a sports writer who despised all the attention the Red Sox and Yankees got. And he called that the axis of evil. The I-95 corridor, he said, was the axis of evil. Because everything in the country comes out of that region. Boston, New York, Philly, Washington, D.C. To this day. The answer, though, Ryan, is New Zealand.
Why there?
New Zealand. They say tops the list because of their favorable island conditions. They identified five places with favorable conditions to survive a global cataclysmic event. New Zealand came out number one, followed by Iceland, the UK, Tasmania, and Ireland.
Okay, so where's the last place?
Wherever you are is the last place.
Probably. Probably. Yeah. Yes. Fox Sports Studios.
yeah, exactly. They say threats to society globally, flooding, drought, pollution, pandemics, superbugs, wildfires, food loss, severe financial crisis are all listed there. The great thing about these studies, let me tell you why these are great. Because if there is a cataclysmic global collapse, no one's going to go back to look at the study to see if they're right or not. So it doesn't, like, this is one of those things where, okay, that's important. But no one's going to say that you got it right. No one's going to look it up down the line if something terrible happens. So it's one of those bullcrap stories. Bullcrap story. So here's an exciting story from androids, from robots taking over the world. And I am convinced at some point we will have the battle of the bots for real, like legitimate big time robots. We'll have robots playing sports mixed with human beings. It's going to happen, given enough time. We won't be around for it, but it'll happen. So two-legged robots are becoming more and more popular. Science trying to master the art of walking like humans, making them look like humans. So there's a robot called Casey, with a C, and it has made history. It has completed a 5K marathon in 53 minutes. 53 minutes. But the robot, they call it she. Does it have she robot parts or?
Okay.
He, all right. Anyway, said she had to stop twice after her computer overheated and she fell while taking a corner too fast.
Okay.
So there is that. And they say that the makers of this robot are hoping to use it to deliver packages or work in warehouses. Well, this has Amazon written all over it, doesn't it?
Yes.
It says, like, Amazon, hey, we don't have to pay people, and we don't have to give them medical insurance, and we don't have to worry about them getting hurt on the job or not being productive. I'll just have a bunch of robots.
Yeah. Jeff Bezos saves more money so he can go into outer space again.
Hey, if you had FU money and you were the richest person in the world, you'd probably do the same thing. You'd go.
I mean, I wouldn't want to do that, but I get it. Like, if you, just think about this. The dude made so much money, he was bored to death. He was like, you know what? I'm going to go to outer space.
Yeah. Well, and it's really because these other, there's like two or three other rich dudes like that were doing the same thing, right? What's the guy from Tesla? What's that cat's name? I forget the guy's name, but he was going to outer space. Elon Musk. Yeah, I keep forgetting Elon Musk's name. But he was going to space. He was doing some stuff in space. And then the guy from that airline, the rich guy, Virgin Airlines, the guy behind that.
Last name Branson or something?
Yes. Yeah, Richard Branson's his name. Look at you. You're a connected guy.
Well, I'm connected. And I'll also say this. If you have so much money that you can go to outer space, you're not paying enough taxes.
No, come on. I am.
No, dude.
No. You should not pay a lot of taxes.
If you have that much money, you're not paying enough taxes. I'm sorry. That is a fact.
Put that on
my tombstone.
Listen, I don't know about you, but I like everyone else, I would think when it comes time to do the taxes, you find it, either you do your taxes or you find an accountant that will make you pay the least amount of taxes, whether you're Bezos or Bezos, whatever his name is, or anybody. That's just how you want to pay the full amount in taxes. Who wants to pay the full amount in taxes if you could not pay the full amount in taxes?
So you're saying, oh, he has to pay more taxes? He might not be able to go to outer space. Oh, no.
No, I don't care whether he goes to outer space or not. The most amazing thing about Bezos is that he is stooping a woman that I know. That blows me away, that the richest man in the history of the world, at least in modern times, is dating a woman that used to cover the Lakers for Fox Sports West in Lauren Sanchez. And I had dinner with her at Staples Center.
Look at you name dropping. Jeez, man.
No, I'm not name dropping. It is amazing to me because I remember in the locker room, she covered the Lakers like in the Shaq Kobe days, the early days of Kobe and Shaq was there. And I mean, she's a very attractive woman, right?
Well, I would imagine I'm not going to go there. Never mind.
She's a lovely lady, and my apologies to her. But the players on the Lakers were, I mean, they were giving her a lot of attention. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
She's very attractive.
They were like, yeah.
Which goes back to my other point, which proves that he's not paying enough taxes. Jeff Bezos.
Nah,
going to outer space, dating all these hot women, pay more taxes. That's my point.
I respect people that try to pay as little as possible in taxes. Because I try to pay as little in taxes.
Okay, but you're not Jeff Bezos.
But here's the thing. See, you're directing your rage at the wrong people. The people you should be upset about are the politicians that allow that to be possible. Right? If you are a rich enough person, you can make a deal and you can go to Congress and get laws changed and get tax loopholes and go in there. These things called lobbyists, and that's what the rich people do, that's really the problem. No, it's not.
It is. No, you're right. It is a problem. They always say, like, oh, you know, if they don't pay a lot of taxes, it will trickle down, and people will get more jobs and work more. No, these people will just go to outer space. That's where the money's going. It's not going to the people.
Yeah. Well. I don't know. It was kind of dopey. I watched that on YouTube when Bezos went to outer space, and I was expecting like a lot more than I got.
I'm so angry about this.
I'm not really angry. I don't really care. Whatever. It's fine. You know. Eventually, there'll be regular flights. You'll go to LAX. Oh. All right, we're going to go up to outer space for 10 minutes, and then we'll come back.
The man is so rich. He got married, divorced, lost a shit ton of money, and he's still the richest man in the world. That's how rich he is.
Well, listen, I say good for him. He came up with something that society clearly loves and spends a shitload of money on, and I think we should encourage more people to be the next Jeff Bezos and come up with a product and that everyone needs and makes their life easier, and I think that should be encouraged. I think that you should want to be the next Bezos and create something and get the riches of, not Solomon, that's beyond the riches of Solomon. That's unbelievable. Thank God. All right, I think we've gone long on this. So we should put the baby to bed. Unfortunately, we'll do no pop quiz. We'll do that next week. And so, Ryan, thank you. How can the masses follow you, Ryan McMahon? I know you've been doing a tremendous job. Yeoman's work here over the last month now.
Yes, yes.
Last month. I'm sure management will give you a big fat raise at some point. Yes?
Yeah, I'm sure Jeff Bezos will pay more taxes before that happens.
Okay.
But I digress. You can find me on Twitter, Ryan McBain, RyanMCBain, and on Twitch. Yes, Twitch.
Yes, you're one of
Ryan McBain on there as well.
One of those Twitch people.
Yes.
Twitchers.
Which is also owned by Jeff Bezos.
Yes, you're helping him out. You're helping the man out right there. Anyway, listen, have a great rest of your Saturday. We got the mailbag right around the corner on Sunday. You can follow me on, you know, the social media channels, Ben Maller on Twitter, Instagram, Ben Maller on Fox, the Facebook page, Ben Maller Show. And if you did not hear the Tommy John interview, you got to go back and hear it from Friday. And have a great rest of your day. We'll catch you next time.